Heaven has assigned angels to deliver and help you. When hell singled you out for an intense attack, heaven singled you out for an incredible breakthrough. You're about to walk out of every prison the enemy has ever tried to lock you in. New doors are opening. Don't be discouraged. It's time for your comeback. Today I'm going to be sharing a message called Send in the Angels. Our text will be from Acts chapter 12. The book of Acts, the New Testament book that has no ending because it's still being written. The Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. Acts chapter 12 verse 1. Now about this time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. James would be the first apostolic martyr. And because of that, because he saw that that pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. That would be 16 soldiers, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And Peter's chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So Peter went out and followed the angel, did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Then they went past the first and the second guard posts, and they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street. Immediately the angel departed from him. Then Peter, when he came to himself, said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people." Father, we thank you for your word that's living and powerful and the sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you that you speak to us, that you encourage us, you heal us, you help us, you transform us. Anoint your servant, anoint your word, and anoint your people. Show the devil who's boss today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this story. I felt to share with you today some things I want to highlight. The first being the spirit of Herod. There are in scriptures in history three Herods. They all kept the same name. They were all the same family, a grandpa, a father, a son. And so each of the Herods, it's almost as if they became progressively more evil. They acted often in demonized ways. And the spirit of Herod speaks to us of demonized leaders that attack and oppress believers. The spirit of Herod is when a leader's mind becomes preoccupied with seeking ways to hurt and destroy God's people. The word harass here, but Herod harass maybe is not a powerful enough, a severe enough English word. It means to oppress someone, to afflict them, to harm them, to maltreat, to injure, to exasperate, to vex. And so Herod felt this intention, this pull to attack this little sect called the Way, the beginning of Messianic believers that were discovering salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan." Think about the Israelites, the people in the Jews in Jerusalem were suffering under the tyrannical and ungodly leadership of the Roman Empire, Herod representing that empire and ruling with great authority and great oppressive actions, and now targeting the church, killing James and about to kill Peter the same way because he saw it pleased them. It's an unusual alignment here when the Jewish leaders joined together with the pagan, the Roman leaders, Herod. And it speaks of the political and religious spirits often will unite together to oppose their common enemy, believers in the church. So this odd bedfellows story, people that would normally have no interest, in fact, they would be really, opposed to each other, came together because they found a common enemy that would be the church and Peter as a leader in the church. Second point, when hell unleashes 16 devils against you, and so Herod assigned four squads, 16 soldiers were assigned to watch one preacher. You know the devil's afraid of you when he sends 16 devils to attack you, 16 traumas to hurt you, 16 mountains to try to intimidate you. So here's 16 against one, and he's in chains and he's asleep. Sometimes we're sleeping not just because we're tired, but because we're emotionally exhausted and we're depleted of mental energy and emotional capacity. Peter's sleeping. He's surrounded by 16 issues. I don't know what your 16 issues are, but if you feel like you've got 16 devils trying to harass you, 16 traumas trying to enslave you, 16 problems trying to imprison you, I've got good news for you. You've got a God who's so powerful. He snaps his fingers and brings you out of the grip of 16 demons, 16 problems, 16 traumas. He can do it because he's so mighty. He's so mighty. And so here's 16 devils, 16 demonic agents, 16 problems, 16 issues, 16 traumas, and yet God's laughing in heaven, said, ain't nothing. In fact, I'm so powerful, I'll send just one little angel can easily defeat 16 devils, 16 problems, 16 mountains, 16 traumas. No matter what you feel, when you feel overwhelmed by what's gone wrong or by so many issues simultaneously ganging up on you, you are not alone, my friend. There is deliverance and help on the way to bring you out of the grip of those things that are trying to imprison you and hold you back. That's God's promise to us. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. When I was a young man, I never claimed that verse. I don't want many afflictions. They come just with life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Everybody say all. All of the afflictions the righteous face. That's God's promise to you. It's God's promise to me. That's how great our God is. Isaiah 59 says, when the enemy will come in like a flood trying to overwhelm you with 16 devils and traumas and problems, the Lord in that moment will raise up a standard and put him to the devil should have never picked on you. The devil should have never started with you. The devil should have never had someone oppose you in a rage and attack you unjustly and persecute you. The devil started it, but your God's going to finish it. What the devil has begun, God's going to write the ending to. What the devil's thought he's won, God's going to give the devil a surprise ending to your story. It's not over, my friend. God's up to some amazing things in this moment in history, including what he's about to do in your life and in your story. Herod is easily manipulated by demonic powers, in his family lineage. There was grotesque immorality, perversion. There was murderous rage, murdering babies, and now murdering preachers because it made some people happy. And so, but all of those things got God's attention. My third point is this. The most powerful people in a city or country are those who know how to pray. I need you to get this because there's a just position between how powerful the Roman Empire was and how unempowered a little sect called the Way of people that are really forming a new belief system called, we call it Christianity. So here they are, they're just in someone's house praying, John Mark's house praying. And the Roman Empire in all of its might, represented in Herod, is waging war against them. And just think about that unequal battle. that titan of an empire and that little tiny group of believers. Yet in the spiritual realm, it was the believers that were more powerful. No matter what the government did, they couldn't stop the church when the church started to pray. Don't you dare give up on America. Don't you dare give up on this generation. Don't you dare give up on millennials or X's or Z's or my generation. Stop acting like God can't be God in your story, in this generation, and in their country. When the church prays, things change. When the church prays, things change. James, in fact, the word constant here, constant prayer was made at John Mark's mother's house. Constant means fervent and continual. So it represents both quality and quantity. It kept going on, continual prayer. Elbow someone and say, don't stop praying. And it was passionate prayer. You could always tell when someone believes God hears and answers their prayer because they pray with a little umph in it. You with me? I'm a preacher's son. My beloved father's here. My son in the front row is a preacher's son. When you grew up in a pastor's home, you could fake it all. You've heard 10,000 sermons. You've been in 10,000 services. When Matthew and the kids were little, I'd ask them to pray for dinner. Pray for dinner. And they could just, Lord, thank you for this man. Blessed for our body, but blessed missionaries in Haiti. Blah, 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 blah. And so every now and then I said, stop. Pray like you know God hears your prayer. Oh, Jesus. Bless this food. When you know God hears you, you can't help but have some fervency in your prayers. Well, you Pentecostals just too loud. It's not that we're loud. We're just believers. We believe when we pray, God answers. We believe when we worship, God receives that. And so there's a passion in our activities because we believe that when we call upon the Lord, he hears us. He said, call upon me. I will answer you. I will answer you. I will answer you. The Bible says in James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man / woman avails much. Ishku'u is the Greek word for avails much. It means capable of producing results. The effectual prayer, effectual being energetic, energetic, powerful prayer, fervent, zealous prayer. So there it is, those two things, a passionate prayer. Is capable of well, some people act like they're praying because they're required to, but I pray because I believe God answers prayer. That's just because there's a devotional requirement for me to walk with God. When I pray for sinners, I expect them to be saved. When I pray for the sick or the bound, I expect them to be delivered. When I prayed for my friend who was dead, I expected God to So God answers prayer. That's who our God is. He's a prayer. So Elijah prayed. And verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. It's so important because sometimes we have an elevated interpretation of leaders. The Bible often includes the human struggles of people that became great in their endeavors serving God so that we would not elevate them to saint status. You with me, St. Peter? Yeah, he was kind of a loser before he was a saint. Always, how would you like to be the only disciple always getting in trouble? That's Peter again. Open mouth, insert foot. He changes the world. His humanity is given to us so that we don't elevate him to perfection. God uses imperfect people and lets you know about their imperfections so you don't think God can't use you. Listen, all the time when I read these guys, I'm so encouraged. I go, this guy's a bigger jerk than me. God used him. God can use me. Come on. A man with like passions as we have, yet the Bible says, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain the land. God send rain this week to Arizona, in Jesus' name. This week, in Jesus' name. Sorry. He prayed that it would not rain. Didn't rain for 3.5 years. Little bald guy prays. His prayers go into a realm that change the weather patterns of earth. You're almost here, okay. He prayed again. And heaven gave rain, earth produced its fruit. That's a portrait of the prayer binding and loosening. Bind things you want to stop. Loose things you believe God wants to be free. Okay, I got to go on. I don't want to, but I have to. Prayer makes it God's fight. Pray about it before you post about it. Everybody's acting like social media is actually anything. Just words. Yeah, get it out. If you feel better, let it be your diarrhea, whatever it is. Sorry. I've already disappointed my wife. Get it out, whatever. But how about praying about it before you complain about it? Pray about it before you post about it. Okay? So the Bible invites us. 2 Chronicles 7:4 says, God says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I will hear from heaven, heal their land, forgive their sins, and heal their land. So God says, I'll change a whole nation if my people in the nation pray. Now, it's really a covenant promise to Israel, but it also invites the church to know that we can stand in the gap for a broken nation and pray. Really true. Point number 4. Send in the angels. I believe we live in a time of tremendously increased angelic activity on the earth. Thank you, 6 of you. Angels heed, respond to, and obey the word of the Lord when it is spoken under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Everybody knows angels obey God. But angels obey God's word wherever they hear it. Okay. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. They are very powerful. One angel killed 100,000 people in the Bible. Who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So the voice of God's word is when the Holy Spirit anoints you to say something from the scriptures or a prophetic release that's from the heart of God. When you say God's word, angels hear it like God said it. Ah, you're almost here. Speak the word. Speak the word. Angels are governed in their earthly activity over our lives by the revealed prophetic purpose and destiny God has ordained for us, our divine script. So the angel comes to Peter. Peter is asleep. Probably, you know, I'm sure he's physically tired, but he's emotionally spent. When someone breaks into your house unjustly, when you're doing nothing but good and you're treated like a murderer and you're put into prison with 16 devils guarding you, and you're enchained. So he's asleep. The angel takes his sword out, not to kill him, but to awaken. Awaken us, Lord. And this, wake up, dude. Wake up. And then he said, get on your feet. And the moment Peter stood up, his chains went down. When Peter stood up, his chains... Don't expect chains to come off you until you get up. When you get up, devil, and I'm not going to stay anymore in this pain, this lie, this trauma, this deception, I'm not going to stay in this place. I'm getting up. When you get up, chains go off. When you get up, chains go off. When you get up, chains go off. And so the angel said, gird yourself, put on your sandals, and put on this jacket. The angel did not dress him. Why? There was a script that he was following verbatim. And part of the script was in John 21, when Christ had said to Peter, just before Christ left, he said to Peter, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands. Another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. So the prophetic word was, while you're young, you'll be free and strong. When you become older, your physical strength will diminish, and also control of your life will be lost, which is the story of Peter. So he's free until later on history tells us he's martyred as an older man. Now here's my point. The angel could not exceed the script. So everyone here has a script. And angels around you are guard you and govern your life according to your script. The more you're aware of destiny, purpose, calling, and God's assignment, the more you speak that out, the more you feed an angelic army to fulfill it in your life. So they brought Peter out, this one angel did, brought him out of prison. There are more angels than demons. I'd just like to remind you of that. Hebrews 12 says, an innumerable company of angels, so many you can't even count them. Each person here, each person alive, I believe, has a guardian angel. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 18, says, don't mess with these kids, they have angels. So some of your angels, when you meet them in heaven, are going to say, so glad you're gone, dude, so glad you're here. You about wore me out. So all of us have so many. So whether you've put the pieces together or not, there's been dozens, if not hundreds of times when there was angelic activity protecting you that you either were aware of or not aware of. I was driving down a year ago, driving home from church, taping here, and I stopped at Central and Dunlap Road. I stopped there, just had some soft jazz playing, was just praying gently in tongues under my breath, and just having, I'd preached like 3 hours of media. I was just pumped up and having a great time with God. And I stopped at the light at Dunlap, and the Lord, so a voice said to me, when the light turns green, don't go forward. Just quietly, like a person was sitting there, like they whispered it. I thought, how strange. The light turned green, I didn't go forward. And I started counting, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Between 4 and 5 seconds, a large utility truck ran the light. It had 30-foot wooden power poles. And I realized I would have been right in the middle of that intersection, my little 2-door car. A voice in my car saved my life. Now, it could have been the Holy Spirit. It could have been my guardian angel. I don't know who, I'm just glad I heard that voice. Amen? Me mucho happy I heard that voice, because that was an assassination attempt on your pastor. So that really, really happened. So we all have guardian angels. Angels have eternal life. They live forever. There are different kinds of angels in the Bible. There are seraphim around the throne of God, these multi-winged, beautiful creatures worshiping God, surrounding his throne with their worship. There are beyond that other kinds of angels that are beautiful, that are part of God's plan. There are cherubim. There are archangels. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer used to be one. And so the Bible tells us angels have supernatural strength. They're powerful creatures. So I just want to remind you, when you pray, the church over here, a little group of believers, the Bible called the church, they're praying, maybe 100 people or less in a house. They're praying for Peter. While they're praying, angels start moving. An angel breaks into prison and breaks Peter out. One angel. Peter was not delivered from prison because he was an apostle, because of his title, position, influence, or importance. He was delivered from prison because some Holy Ghost mamas were praying for him over there. John Mark's mama and others were praying. And when they prayed, angels started moving. The chapter, this all-powerful person named Herod, representing regional authority, a stronghold used by the enemy. At the end of the chapter, he's giving a speech in another town. And at the end of the speech, they shout out, "It's the voice of a God, not a man." And the Bible says, when Herod did not give God the glory, an angel smote him. And Herod died with worms. He died horrific. Now, the church never prayed worms on him. They prayed for God's kingdom to come. And when God's kingdom came, it exerted so much power and released so much angelic activity that part of the script was, when that dude starts acting like a god, his life will end. Bam. Bam. Herod dies. Peter lives. Herod goes to hell. Peter goes to Jerusalem. Angels all around us. Angels all around us. I love it when people say, "Pastor, while you're speaking, I saw this huge angel behind you." I said, "Where?" My one angel story is when Mary and I were first married and we lived in Tempe. And I was associate pastor at East Valley Christian Center Church. My father started. But I was the associate pastor, which meant I didn't get paid. And so I would frequently pray all night as a young man because I was a maniac. I'm still a maniac, but I need sleep. So I prayed until I'll pray all night until then I spend time with dreams with God. So I'm praying all night, and so I said, "Lord, I want to see an angel." And the moment I said that, a realm of holiness I'd never experienced came into the room. And the fear of God came into my heart. Wow, something just shifted. Now, we lived in the second story of an apartment complex. And we had stone stairwells up to our apartment. I heard someone at 2 or 3 in the morning start coming up the stairs. They wait so you could tell if it was a child or adult by how much noise the stairs would make. So we could always tell who's coming up to our apartment. The stairs made a thunderous sound. So it was a big person. They started walking up the stairs. Boom, boom. My heart started pounding. I closed my eyes and said, "I don't want to see an angel now. I don't want to see an angel now." So that's my brave angel story. Angels are real. Last point, and may God speak to us in this moment from this last point. It's your time to walk out of every prison of pain, bondage, and trauma the enemy has ever tried to lock you into. It's time for your prison break. Tell your neighbor it's time for your prison break. When Peter got up, when I was a boy, we introduced in malls, we introduced the first of automatic doors. So when you're a kid and you've never seen it before, and you realize you get close to it, it opens. You back away from it, it closes. Stop waiting to move until doors open. And start moving and watch doors open when you get there. Why would God open a door you're not at yet? Move and watch what he does. This is your season. Isaiah says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. The devil's a liar. 16 devils are about to get 16 whoopings. 16 traumas about to get 16 healings. 16 problems about to get 16 answers. There's nothing in your world God can't deliver you out of. There's no childhood traumatic pain. There's no current adversity. There's no difficulties in life that are somehow greater than your God. Keep praying. Keep calling upon God. Keep believing his promises. Keep declaring his word. And watch him bring you out of what the devil's tried to put you into. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise and shine. Your light has come." The glory of God's risen. Isaiah 60 was written to broken-hearted, defeated, and depressed people. And God says, it's a new day. I'm taking you out of this prison of depression, discouragement. I'm taking you out of the prison of hopelessness into a brand new day. It's a new day for you, my dear friends. Watch what God's about to do in your life. In Luke chapter 4, Christ preaches his first sermon, and the devil tried to kill him. You ain't preached good until people are mad at you. Verse 29 of Luke 4 says this: they mobbed Jesus and threw him out of the city, dragged him to the edge of the cliff on the hill in which the city had been built, ready to hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus walked right through the crowd, leaving them all stunned. Leaving them all stunned. The enemy has come against you in a rage because of the anointing and destiny you carry. He's tried to overwhelm you with unusually intense personal attacks and unrelenting adversity. His strategy is to try to throw you off the cliff, making you quit and give up because of disappointment, discouragement, and despair. But God is with you. He is fighting for you. And you're about to walk right through it all without even a scratch. When the church prayed, God sent an angel to deliver Peter out of prison. The same prison Herod had locked him with 16 soldiers in. God is mightier than whatever you're facing. And you're about to walk out. God helped me walk out of a serious life-threatening depression. He walked me stage by stage. One door opened. And then another door opened. And finally the last door opened. Just keep walking. Maybe you're not all the way there. Just keep walking. And the next door will open. The next victory will come. The next breakthrough will come. Keep trusting God as he gently, lovingly guides you through a healing, therapeutic journey. And watch the miracles that start to add up in your story. The devil can't stop what God has started in your life. The devil tried to kill Peter, but God wasn't done with Peter. The devil's tried to kill you, but God's not done with you. The devil's tried to imprison you, but it's your prison break season. So many people are suffering now. More than any time in my lifetime, people are suffering depression. 90% of the population is testing with high anxiety or depression. There are so many people living in actual mental and emotional prisons. And God needs you to break out so you can go back in and break the rest of them out. God needs you to pioneer a pathway of healing, deliverance, and freedom for your family and for others. Your victory is not just about you. It's for all the people God will lead to victory because of you. Your testimony is not just about you. It's about all the people that God will provoke and strengthen and heal and motivate to get the same thing because he brought you out. Peter was brought out, and the last gate opened of its own. My God, you haven't seen it until God starts opening doors you didn't even touch yet. He got near the door. It started opening the door to the whole city. And God said, this whole city is yours. The devil can't have your family. He can't have your city. He can't have this generation. He can't have this nation. He can't have your marriage. He can't have your children. He can't have any of it. God's not done. Come on, stand up and give God a praise. Someone shout Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God. So many testimonies in this room. So many people that should have died from drugs but are alive. So many people that alcohol tried to kill but are here. So many people with deep traumas that tried to imprison them. Here they are giving you their best praise. There's no praise in heaven like the heart that has been restored from brokenness. The fragrance of that heart carries so much meaning with God. We thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? As we close the service, remind you tonight we'll have a prophetic night. Pray for anyone that wants prayer. Praying and moving by the Holy Spirit's guidance. As we close this service, I want to invite those that need prayer, any reason today. Let's begin with the most important reason. If you're here today and you've never received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, we'd be deeply honored to pray for you. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is a gift for you. Jesus died to get it to you. Let us pray with you if you've never received Christ and the great blessings of forgiveness of sins. If you've been away from God, make this your comeback Sunday. Make this your coming back home and receive God's love and forgiveness. If you need physical healing, we believe in praying for the sick as the Bible commands us, as the Bible instructs us to lay hands upon the sick and pray the prayer of faith. And watch, we do the praying, God does the healing. We'd be honored to pray for you. Maybe you're just going through such an intense week. You feel imprisoned in this season of your life by trauma, by pain, discouragement, by events. Today, let someone pray a prison break prayer over you. Anyone that needs prayer today, please come forward. Just for 90 seconds further, church, would you worship the Lord while those seeking prayer make their way forward?